Hello, 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 everybody, and welcome to the How We Scaled show. My name is Jeff Brandeis, president and founder of CEO of Brandeis Coaching and Brandeis Training Solutions. Each of our episodes will feature a CEO, VP of sales, or an entrepreneur that has scaled their business to six, seven, even eight figures. And on the show, we will ask questions to them about what they did that scaled their business, that grew their revenues, that made them what they are today. So you're ready to listen and learn? Stay tuned. One, two, and three. Here we go. Hello, podcasters. Welcome back to another episode of How We Scaled. This is Jeff Brandeis, and today I bring you a guest that I know everyone always wants to learn more about building their business, growing, and obviously our name of our podcast is How We Scaled. So please welcome Will Russell from Russell Marketing. Will, thanks so much for joining us today.
My pleasure, Jeff. Thank you so much for having me.
It's great to have you on board, for sure. So, Will, tell our listeners a little bit about what you do and how you go about doing it.
Sure. I'm founder and CEO of Russell Marketing. It's a launch marketing agency that was set up in 2017. So we're approaching kind of fifth year now of the business. And our core service is helping companies launch. So we have a five-step system that we move companies and products through so that they can have a successful launch period.
When you talk about launch, are you talking about a new entrepreneur that's just starting its business, or are you talking about a company that's been struggling, or both?
I'd say both. Most of the work we do is the new entrepreneurs, embarking on this journey, possibly for the first time. There's a lot of risk, a lot of investment about to happen. And so our goal is to help them navigate those waters and launch in an affordable and effective, minimize that risk way. That said, we do get a lot of bigger companies who are launching new products, or perhaps kind of corporations that have kind of little innovation teams who are experimenting with new launches. So it's across the spectrum, but I would agree that, yeah, most of our clients are folks who are looking to enter that entrepreneurship space for the first time.
Gotcha. So in the opening, you talked about this five-step process. Is that anything you can share with our listeners to kind of get them excited about what you do?
Of course. Yeah, absolutely. So it's a five-step system that essentially can validate and launch any idea. So if you have an idea, a service, a product, a business, a website, whatever that idea might be, putting that idea through our system is going to help prove that concept and launch that product to market in a really, as I said before, kind of affordable, effective way, with the core goal of minimizing risk. One of the early things I used to see in my life as an entrepreneur was how many clients we worked with who bet their house, quite literally, on an idea, and it didn't work out for them. And so my goal in creating this system and implementing this system is to minimize that risk, minimize that waste, and allow people to maximize their launch success. So just to quickly touch on those steps, step one is validation. Any new entrepreneur is going to be hearing and reading a lot about validate, proof of concept, market fit, however you want to term it. Steps two and steps three are audience acquisition and audience engagement. So that's all about the work that happens before you launch, building up your prospective customers, getting people excited around your product or your idea. Steps four and five, audience conversion and scale. So both those steps will happen once the product's launched, once it's available. And it's all about converting as many of those prospective customers as possible and scaling that growth as high as you can go. So that's the five-step system. Usually takes about 5 months to implement, and something that we certainly enjoy helping entrepreneurs move through, but it's also something that entrepreneurs can tackle themselves and move through the system themselves and work independently.
I think a lot of the entrepreneurs start out their businesses thinking, I can do it all. And then they stop to talk to you and you kind of look at them and go,
why are you wasting your money? Why are you wasting your time doing certain things? What do you see as some of the biggest things that the entrepreneurs are doing that is wasting time and money that's, you would say, just stop?
Speaking to the wrong people about whether their product or their pricing or their positioning is right for the market. Almost all the folks that we speak to think their idea is the next best thing. And that's okay, because they're supposed to. However, most of them are not proving that or validating that notion outside of their immediate kind of inner circle. So people will come to us having spoken to friends, family, maybe people in their, maybe they're at a working space or maker space. So they're speaking to people directly and getting their feedback. You don't tend to get as honest an opinion when you're face to face with someone. And so I feel that oftentimes they're getting data, they're getting feedback that isn't representative of what would actually happen when this becomes available for a stranger to buy. So I think that's number one, is the first thing we'll see, and the biggest mistake is people having huge expectations for a product without accurate or tangible data to prove that. And that's because they feel good, they think they've got the data, they're going to invest a lot of money, a lot of time in that launch, when if they'd just taken a step back, perhaps done a little bit more validation and research with the right audiences, they could have either found out, okay, this price point isn't going to work with the market, so let's have a rethink before we invest $10,000, $20,000, $50,000. Or number two, they can see, okay, well, this does work with the market, and they can move into that launch with more confidence, more assurance, and a clearer picture of what the next steps need to be.
Interesting. Are you focused on companies that actually have a physical product, or are you also work with coaches and, you know, people, life coaches, business coaches, so forth and so on?
Predominantly our clients for the business are people with physical products. And the main reason for that is physical products tend to be, well, they are more tangible. You can touch them and feel them and experience them. Right. And they tend to be quicker and easier, I should say, to get traction. Now, people come to us with software ideas, free apps, coaching, books, that kind of thing. And the challenge with any of those items is that they're a much lower price point. And therefore, by hiring an agency or a partner, the margins are going to be pretty tight for someone in launching that product. So all of that's all one of the consequences of that, the fact that most people with ideas may not have the budget or may not have a tangible physical product that people can purchase and touch and feel. That's why, actually, one of the reasons I've been writing a book recently, which is going to be published next year, which makes this system, like I said to you at the start, Jeff, available to everyone, because it is a secret sauce, I suppose. But at the same time, I always say it's not rocket science. You know, anyone can do it if they have the recipe and they have the instructions. And so for a lot of people who have ideas that are not tangible physical products, as I said, it doesn't always make sense to work with a big marketing partner. It makes more sense for them to roll their sleeves up and do it themselves. And that's partly why I've been writing this book, to try and introduce that option for people.
Interesting. So the name of my podcast is obviously How We Scaled. So right. Why don't you talk to us a little bit about how you started, you know, five years ago, 6 years ago, and what you did to grow your company to where it is today.
5-6 years ago, I started out with a slightly different business. I was actually trying to build nonprofit training content.
Really?
Nonprofit space. Yeah, and I spent 6 months trying to do that, and I sold one ebook for $9. So I decided that wasn't the right path, and had a connection in the launch space, and so started exploring product launches more. I'd had some launch experience previously, so it resonated with me. And with the advent of things like crowdfunding, it's become more of a, there are a lot more people looking to kind of put their ideas out there and validate their ideas and get them into the market. It's a more easy process to make that happen. So it was a good market to step into. The early on, I'm a very data-driven person, or not very spontaneous. You know, I like to plan. And so when I started this business, I did do a lot of work on planning and tracking and understanding what actually makes this business grow. And so one example of that was prospect acquisition or lead generation. Yeah. Where are we finding clients? And so I tried a lot of different things, and some of them worked, some of them didn't. But for example, I went to a lot of networking events in my first year. I'm quite introverted, so I don't really like them anyway. But you know, you read a lot about them being great places to go for a network, for networking, obviously for meeting people, for building business relationships. After a year of doing that, I haven't got a single client from that. So I stopped that and instead focused on the areas which were working for me, which for our business were partnerships. So in the launch space, there were a lot of similar businesses involved serving different needs. For example, if someone's launching, they'll need likely someone to help them with production, perhaps someone to help them with PR, perhaps a photographer to help them photograph their product, someone who can have marketing expertise. So there's all these different needs that are going to happen, and building relationships with other service providers who offer those needs was generally the best way for me. So we have a number of good partners now: PR, photography, videography, influencer marketing, launch platforms, any other service providers in this space. And when we have clients who might need their help, then we can pass them on and refer them, and vice versa. And so for me, for scaling, for growth, building those partnerships, especially early on, was key, because that those partnerships were really the main source of leads. But also, when you get a referral, it's an added level of credibility. And so that added level of credibility was really useful when we were starting up, because we didn't have too much history or track record or credibility to put forward. So having someone else vouch for us was a big asset.
Yeah, I think as people get started, one of the things they go, I'm talking to somebody and they ask me for a reference. And I haven't sold anything yet, and I haven't gotten started yet, but so I don't have a reference. What do I do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's a great question.
But you know, what would you know? I'm sure you go through this with your early entrepreneurs too. So, what would you recommend? You know, someone that's just starting, and you know, you get asked that question.
Sure. I mean, credibility in this launch space and the launch system is really important, because just like you mentioned there, a lot of these entrepreneurs are starting out. They don't have a track record. They don't have a product that people can vouch for. Right. And so it is really important to deliver that credibility to these earliest customers, because they have no other benchmark to go off of, these early customers. So there's a few ways I try and look into that. I know from an agency service provider, I did a lot of kind of free work, not early on, not a lot of kind of long campaigns just for free, but instead kind of little bits and pieces, little tasks, little projects, strategy consulting, kind of smaller portions of work, and pro bono, simply for those case studies or for those references. That was key for me. For a lot of clients we work with, the biggest credibility angle we can get out there without having a physical product and history of credibility and history and track record is transparency and honesty, to be honest. When we have entrepreneurs who are willing to get their face out there, you know, and do live Q&A sessions and literally put their phone number on a web page so that people can call them if they have any questions, and those founders who are really hands-on, really transparent and honest and open, that in itself is a massive level of credibility and trust that can often supersede the fact that there's just no product in the market yet. So when we're working with new entrepreneurs, we do look for credibility, such as if they're working on a health product, do they have a medical doctor on their board or anything like that, or certifications or awards, press. There's lots of little bits of credibility we can pull. However, fundamentally, if you don't have a product or a service to show and no previous customers, then that credibility is going to be a hurdle. And so the biggest impact in changing that and overcoming that for us is just being honest, transparent, open, and being a good human being, really, and building that trust with the potential customer, because that's all the credibility is, isn't it? It's just trust. So if you can get that trust in a different way, then you'll be fine.
I agree with you. I kind of look at this, and when I talk to people, it comes down to my acronym. I call this is KLT. People got to know, like, and trust you, and they will begin to, they'll gravitate to people, and they will buy from people who they know, like, and trust. And all the rest, all the testimonials, all the references. I mean, typically this, for my purposes, I'm just going to say this, and people will dispute this, and you can tell me how you feel. I mean, that's a smokescreen for someone that doesn't really want to buy. So give me references. I'll check them out, and I'll get back to you. I mean, sometimes they might get back to you, but a lot of times it's something that I don't think you did a good job or credibility-wise to that they're looking for something for you to go do. And that's kind of sometimes what I see more often than that. But
it's any skepticism, thoughts on that? Isn't it? It's just skepticism. They're doubtful that you can give them what you say you're going to give them. But I really like your KLT. I like the acronym. Know, like, and trust. Yeah, that's a really sweet and succinct way of saying what it took me 5 minutes to say.
You're welcome to share it. And so when you look at technology over the past few years, it's obviously changed significantly. It's obviously, even with the pandemic, it's changed the way people go market. How have you adapted and changed the business from where you saw it to where you are today?
The pandemic was, from a business standpoint, beneficial for many in the online space, because a lot of folks suddenly had to take everything online. So I would say the pandemic wasn't much of a factor for us, but what has been a big factor for us, given that most of our launches and most things people do these days are online, is the privacy factor on the internet right now. And you know, Facebook's certainly taken a lot of hits in the last couple of years about their privacy. Obviously the social media platforms were front and center for a lot of the political stuff in the last couple of years. And what that comes down to from a marketing standpoint is a lack of transparency into who you're reaching. You know, if someone like Apple wants to shut off and make it super private for their users, completely understand that. As a user, I'm completely on board with that. That poses a challenge for marketers, which I'm sure consumers don't care about, but it poses a challenge of, okay, well, how do I reach this person with relevant content and interesting information if I'm completely blind as to who they are or what they like? So that's a big challenge and something that we're dealing with, many other agencies are dealing with, and I think is going to be a big evolution, really, in just marketing in general, because a lot of the existing or most successful initiatives, such as Facebook advertising, which has been huge in the last few years, is now just much, much less effective. And so I think for us and for many agencies like us, we're at a really interesting turning point, because we cannot just keep doing the same thing. We have to change. We have to do something new, because otherwise we're going to be, I think the privacy issue it isn't going anywhere. It's only going to become bigger, and many other technology platforms are going to be taking a similar approach to Apple that did this year with new privacy updates. And that's going to pose a particular challenge. So usually when we're faced with challenges like that, whether it's us or a client, we often think about, well, how can we pivot or make a change in the simplest possible way? I think the idea of making a big change can be scary. And so rather than having this big idea of, oh my gosh, this business model doesn't work anymore, we have to completely change it, I like to try and focus on, well, what are the areas that we do really well? What are some of the similar platforms or processes that are in existence that are still doing well that we could transition to. So we'd have to reinvent the wheel, but we're taking a step away from what we're doing now. So an example for us for that is we do a lot of advertising on Facebook, Google, and whatnot. And as I said, becoming increasingly challenging with privacy concerns for users. And so we're looking, okay, well, how can we take the processes we have that we use to identify audiences and speak to audiences through Facebook advertising, and how can we replicate those processes through influencer marketing, which seems to be on the up? So it is a scary pivot because it's such a fundamental piece of the business, but I would also try and temper that seriousness by just, you know, how can we do something very, very similar that's not too much of a change based on the current things that we do really well. We don't need to overhaul the whole system.
When companies, entrepreneurs, or even existing companies look at marketing and they look at companies like yours, everyone says, yeah, I can do this better. If I wanted to work with you, Will, and you know, what differentiates you from other marketing companies?
There's a couple of things I'm going to highlight here, because sure. I think that there's a much bigger distinction between launch marketing and general marketing than people tend to think. Launch marketing is not just marketing, but doing it at launch. You know, launch marketing, in my opinion, is its own entity, it's its own category. And it's particularly important and different because of the aspect of time. So when you're marketing a general product online for a company that exists, the goal is you often see marketers talk about A/B testing and incremental improvements and how can we get a conversion rate or a click rate up a little bit. And maybe they'll run a test and in 2 weeks' time, they'll assess the data. In launch marketing, you don't have 2 weeks. You don't have time because the system and the process itself has to happen within a specific time period in order for it to be successful. You can't just be launching for 2 years. So you don't have time to make mistakes. You don't have time to run these small, slow tests. And so this is where there's a difference between the fact that anyone can do marketing, which they can. I don't think, as I said before, it's rocket science. However, I think with launch marketing in particular, you're going to get a massive boost from working with or learning from people in that space, because they're going to help you avoid the mistakes. They're going to help you avoid the pitfalls, and they're going to help you streamline all these processes that have to be streamlined for this launch to be a success. They can help you turn a 3-week test into a 3-day test, for example. And then also, I would point to benchmark data. So in the marketing world, people wonder, oh, well, how should my site convert? You know, what's a good conversion rate? And they can look online for lots of those kind of pieces of information. With a launch, there's very specific steps, as we've talked about, and phases. And there's just not as much information out there. So when you work with a partner or speak to a partner or learn from someone who's in the space, they can help you benchmark your data. And so it gives you an extra context and color around what's happening here. And you can say, well, let's say 3% of my prospective customers are becoming customers during my launch. Is that a good number? Is that a bad number? And by working with an agency or speaking to an agency or an expert in the launch marketing space, they can give you context on, is that a good number? How does it compare to others in the space? Because we have a lot of experience doing that. So to succinctly answer that, I think mainly the main reason someone's going to look for specific launch marketing support or systems is in the interest of time, so they don't make mistakes and they can just do things quicker, better. And so they have really effective benchmarks that can help guide them and help them understand, is the progress they're making on the right trajectory?
Love that. I truly, truly love that you're focused on the launch of a product, getting people to be able to expose themselves to the marketplace. And instead of trying to be, you know, I'm one company, I can do everything for everyone. And mm-hmm. You know, at the end of the day, you might become a master of something, but you can't master everything, because you tend to be able to focus on something. And the fact that you focused on the launch, which is really the entrepreneur of that wants to scale, I think that's a great segment or niche that you're focused in on. So that's fantastic. And I think it really leads into our listeners. So actually, Will, I think it's a great point of, so how can our listeners find you? Where can they contact you? Because I think you've kind of talked about a lot of different things that have not been talked about on our podcast in my previous episode. So how can our listeners find you?
Sure. Our website, russellmarketing.co, is where you can see what's going on, see what we do. We can take a look at some of our past projects, past launches, and get an idea of what that five-step system is about. So russellmarketing.co, alternatively, if you have very specific direct questions, you can reach out to me directly. Will@russellmarketing.co is my email address. So happy to advise and answer any questions that come my way.
Well, thank you so much for being on our podcast today. I learned a lot from our conversation, and I think you'd be ideal for our entrepreneurs that are looking to grow, expand, launch. We are a great conversation to have. So again, Will, thanks for joining us. Everyone, thank you so much for listening to another podcast of How We Scaled. And this is Jeff Brandeis. We look forward to having you join us on our next episode appearing soon. Thanks again. Thank you so much for joining. I truly hope everyone enjoyed the podcast here and our special guest. I know each of you are really excited to possibly even be a guest on our podcast. So feel free to fill out the application form that's below. We'll follow back up with you, be in touch with you, and it'd be great to have you. In addition, I know I'll be reaching out to you to see how we might be able to even do some business and have a conversation about working together. Again, thank you so much for joining our podcast. And if you do know of someone else that actually would like to be on the podcast, feel free to recommend him or her to also fill out the application below. Again, thank you so much for joining. Have a great day and see you next week on How We Scale.